morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this day after the Iowa caucus. We've been anticipating this day for a long time, and we're happy to be with a group of very involved caucus goers and people who came from Wisconsin, some all the way from Algoma, to join us at our broadcast here in Dubuque this morning. Thanks very much for being here and for being so engaged in the political process. All right, you're good. You're good. We promise to be here every 4 years. There's nothing like this process. We have a number of guests to talk about the results. We had a chance, the staff of Wisconsin Public Radio, to go to some of the caucuses last night. And I must say that it was just an amazing night. We went to the library, went to the Democratic caucus simply because it was a more interesting political process last night. And you knew within a couple minutes that something very big was happening here by the number of young people who were there, the number of people who had never been at a caucus before. I think it was three quarters of the people at the library, and I knew something was happening that was very large, and it is. What has happened here is profound. It is profound. It's profound in my lifetime. In all of our lifetimes, I think. So we're going to talk about all of it today. We're going to have so much fun. We have professors of politics from Loras College, which is located here in Dubuque, who can talk. And what's interesting is one of them went to a Democratic and a Republican caucus and participated in the Republican caucus last night, caucusing for John McCain. We have another who participated in the Democratic caucus, and I have yet to ask him who he caucused for. It was
Barack Obama.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you did pick a winner in a big way last night. John Nichols will also be joining us. We've been running into John at the Mississippi Mug. He has been everywhere. I run into him in the afternoon. Hey, I'm going out to a Barack Obama event. Hey, I'm going to meet John McCain at the airport. This guy's got his fingers on the pulse of what's going on politically right now. He'll be joining us as well, associate editor of the Cap Times, contributor for The Nation, and a frequent guest on Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a live audience here once again in Dubuque. We have asked caucus goers. Yeah, thank you so much. I must thank you really from the bottom of my heart. All of us who have been here have been just so happy with your graciousness. You're the best. And I really mean that. Thank you so much for, yeah, you just are.
We won't say that to the New Hampshireites.
No. It's the Iowa group. We also, I'm going to give preference today because of the large wins by Mike Huckabee and Barack Obama to caucus goers for those candidates, because that's what came out of Iowa yesterday. All right, let me introduce our guests, and let's get rolling to analyze all of this. Professor Christopher Budzis is with us, associate professor of politics at Loras College, located here in Dubuque, who went to both the Democratic and Republican caucuses last night, participating in the Republican caucus and caucusing for John McCain. Professor Budzis, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Also, Professor David Carroll Cochran, associate professor of politics at Loras College, who caucused Democratic last night and for Barack Obama, and thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And John will be with you in just a moment. I was astounded at seeing the number of people who were going to a caucus for the very first time last night. And that's what's profound, I think, about what happened in Iowa, is you've got young people, if it carries through, who are really engaged in the political process. What brought them out last night in large numbers and with such enthusiasm?
Usually high-intensity elections will bring out new people, so the more salience, the more intensity behind an election, and you had excitement on both sides, lots of media coverage, and then sort of these insurgent-type candidates, Mike Huckabee, who might appeal to evangelical Christians who might not have participated in the past, and Barack Obama, who's got this unique appeal, especially with young people, college campuses, and I think all those combination of factors, especially all the excitement on both sides, the most sort of wide open election in a long time, sort of all those combined to bring new people in. That would be my guess, at least.
Professor Budzis, your response?
Yeah, I think Dave's right. I mean, having choice and having a wide open choice on both sides really will motivate voters, because in years past, when you've seen comparisons in the Iowa caucus turnout, some of those elections you might only have two choices. Here you have multiple. And the other thing I would add to that list is a pretty effective networking, especially social networking and on-the-ground operations, grassroots operations, both by Obama and by Edwards, and to some extent to Senator Clinton. And for Huckabee, In this region, anywhere, this was not a strong region for the governor. But in other parts of the state, especially central and southern Iowa, you saw a real effective grassroots network of people turning out people for the first time. So targeting those people effectively. So I think to add to Dave's list, the sort of the ability of the campaigns to mobilize and to take advantage of this sense of a sort of high-interest election. So it's a combination of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much has been said, and I don't know how to say this without sounding kind of corny, but let me think about JFK for a moment and this passing of a torch to a new generation. And you heard a lot of that last night. I was watching, I think, MSNBC this morning, and somebody was saying, you know, you look at some of the candidates and you feel like they're going into assisted living, and then you look at... No, seriously, that's my generation. So I think, wait a second, what are you saying about my generation? But then you look at some of the younger candidates, and it's this youth, it is this passing of political power, this passing of hope, this, okay, take it over, we're with you. Did you sense any of that?
Somewhat, at least in Iowa, especially with Obama and probably Ron Paul, you have some excitement, especially among young people. The test, I think, we don't want to... read too much into it, whether this can be duplicated nationwide or whether it has lasting effects, because, as Chris said, Iowa's a small state. The campaigns have lists of pretty much everyone who lives here. They know more about you than you do sometimes, and so they really can target and hit people and use social networking. Whether they can duplicate this nationwide, say in a general election, whether this goes down to congressional elections and other things, I think that's still an open question.
Right. And just, if I might add, just like the night before the caucus, I went to several of the different campaign offices just to get a sense of what's going on, what people are thinking. And just like campaigns themselves can exist in bubbles, we always have to be careful with discussions of projecting forward to a general election because so many things are in play. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, one of the lead stories is youth participation, and it is a phenomenon. Absolutely, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. But there does become a real live question of how does that translate in a general election to a broader population? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm a youth organizer for one of these campaigns or Democratic Party or Republican Party, I still have my job cut out for me. I don't think we can assume that the young people, youth voters, will just automatically show up. I think you're primed to have it happen in record numbers. So I think it's a real possibility, but it's not one that if I'm a campaign manager or an organizer, I'm just going to assume is going to happen. I'm still going to have to work for that.
So when I saw what happened last night, I said, this is going to happen just because of what happened in Iowa, the number of young people who turned out, the response at the thank you parties and the victory parties. I saw something different happening this year. John Nichols, do you think, or would you agree that we can't assume that they're going to turn out?
Well, I don't have the constraints of academic requirements, so I can't.
It must be nice.
These guys write books that go on shelves. I write things that wrap fish the next morning. So I can safely say it will go on. But let me tell you what I saw last night that I think is very important. I occasionally they allow me near a college to teach a course, and I love college students, but I thought they were irrelevant. I did not see a lot of college students last night. What I saw was at the caucus I was at and a lot of other events was young teachers, people in their first year of teaching, young parents. Amazingly enough, I saw a father who brought his 4-year-old daughter and his 14-month-old daughter. And as a young father, I know about this. He had his Cheerios. He had his Dr. Seuss book.
Yes.
He was ready to caucus. And I got to tell you this. I believe it is absolutely transferable to other states because the caucus requires 2 hours of you, and it does require the Cheerios and the Bartholomew book.
Right.
Other states, it doesn't require that. And so what you have to ask yourself is, why did these young people come out? We have a fully dysfunctional way of looking at politics. We think it's about Mike Huckabee and Barack Obama. I want to tell you, it is not, because we have had inspiring candidates before. Every cycle has an inspiring candidate. I think it is the reality that this is a serious election.
Mm-hmm.
This is this morning's headlines tell us. They are using the R word, recession. We are locked in a war that people genuinely believe, whether they favor the surge or not, is just a nightmare. There are really serious things in play. Those are the sorts of things that cause young parents and young professionals who are looking at, boy, can I pay my – yeah, I was talking to a kid last night, 20-something. She said, I have a mortgage that I've got to worry about. And I said, wow, you bought a house? She said, no, my college debt is a mortgage.
Yes,
and
right.
So this is what I'm saying. I think it does transfer. I think Iowa showed us a tip of an iceberg of – different and broader participation, the sort that you see in elections that matter.
Yeah. Christopher, when you look at what happened across Iowa, when you look at the numbers, when you look at where women went, where men went, I'm sorry, David, where you look at where youth went, was there any striking about this? Was there something different about this?
I think it seems to be across the board, and we'll have to look at the numbers more carefully, but it seems to be obviously Senator Obama was projected to do better in college towns, Ames, Iowa City, places like that. But I think it was you saw these patterns kind of across the state, more people coming out. 60% of Democratic caucus goers were first-time caucus goers. So you do see an awful lot of people who haven't caucused before coming in, although, again, a cautionary note, we're still talking about 90% of the Iowa population did something else last night.
What percentage voted last night? It was 6% in 2004, David, wasn't it?
I haven't seen an exact number. I would say maybe...
What was it?
It must be higher than 1%.
Of the overall population. But of the
voting population, they're saying roughly 10%. So
10%.
You had a dramatic bump
from 6 to 10. Although, keep in mind, 4 years ago, it was only the Democrats who caucused.
But you had another significant thing that just to throw in, that if CNN did a very good entry poll. They asked people coming in, and this is it appears by a lot of extrapolation from it, 55 to 60% of women voted for Barack Obama.
Right.
Obama had a woman thing going on, and then you separate out, you do the internal demographics in that. Who were those women? Well, we know the older women were there, and we saw it last night for Hillary. They really were. And so you've got a young woman thing going on for Obama that is quite remarkable. The other thing that was fascinating to me is that for the first time, homeschoolers were a measurable demographic. Yeah, well, we got some here, but I hate to tell you, they were a measurable demographic, mainly on the Republican side for Mike Huckabee.
Right.
And, you know, this is a fascinating thing, though, because these are new group, young women, homeschoolers. I mean, this is significant stuff, and these are the sort of people who should be in our process. So I'm loving the polls and the surveys coming out, because we're seeing that something very important happened here. People that usually, for a variety of reasons, have a hard time making time for an election, made time for this one.
We've heard so much, Christopher, about the phenomenal amount of money, and there has been so much money poured into this state. Romney poured a lot of money into this state. Mike Huckabee won this state, and by a significant percentage. How can you do that?
Well, first off, the Iowa Chamber of Commerce asked me to thank all the candidates for spending all this money. Everyone's going to be leaving. Yeah, all the money dries up. So in terms of your questions about sort of resources.
Huckabee did it without very much money, without a lot of, support people and speech writers and all of that.
And before we started, we were discussing a little bit about sort of how Governor Huckabee is retooling some of his message. And I think because his message in Iowa, whether subtly or not so subtly as Chuck Norris was running around the state, about the role of evangelical voters and the importance, in this very room,
right.
I think. I have the presence of Chuck Norris is here. I think one of the things you did see is that network provided him an alternative mechanism to turn people out. And that is, and Ed Rollins and other folks of the Huckabee campaign realized that network isn't able to be tapped in every state the same way. So in New Hampshire, for instance, as Jim was mentioning beforehand, their retooling message. This wasn't an evangelical voter election for Governor Huckabee, according to the Huckabee camp. Okay, it was more than that, and they will tap into this notion of this is the. I think in his speech afterwards, it was something about getting your groove back. The Republican Party has gotten its groove back, speaking about the middle class and everything else. you know, literary allusions aside, I think that, you know, one thing that he's going to have a hard time with in a place like New Hampshire is relying on that as the mechanism for turnout again in the same numbers.
Let me ask Dan Nicholson to join us from the microphone here. Dan is the State Central Committee for the Republican Party chair, and he did caucus for Huckabee last night. And you're so tall. Thank you for thank you so much for being with us.
The kind of man you want caucusing for you.
Yeah, he does really. Look like you got a lot of authority there.
That's
and
right, there you, go.
You could have persuaded a lot of people if you'd been on the Democratic side. Tell me why you decided to go for Huckabee and how you explain his relatively big win here.
Well, I vacillated back and forth all summer and fall.
Really?
I like Romney. I like McCain. The one thing about the Republican Party is we've got a lot of good people that it's hard to winnow out the ones that we don't. I waited for Fred Thompson to come out, and he came out.
Yeah.
And he didn't come out strong like I expected him to.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't attach to his wagon. But I think the thing that moved me away from Romney was the negative ads. Negative ads don't work in Iowa.
Mm.
On the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the other side. But the Republican Party, we've seen it time and time again, when a candidate goes negative, he loses. And you go back all the way back to Lightfoot. Lightfoot had pretty much the governorship in his pocket till 2 weeks.
Mm.
He went negative, didn't need to,
mm-hmm.
and he lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the reason I went to Romney, or away from Romney and into Huckabee camp, was the negative ads, and the messages. They're not all that different on the top tier of Republican candidates. The message is pretty much the same, but it's the messenger and the way the message is delivered.
Do you think that he transcends then religion, or is his message religion?
Well, I didn't see the religion in any of the candidates to be a deciding factor for anybody.
Interesting.
And I talked to a lot of people, and you know, Mormonism doesn't bother me. And if Romney gets to be the candidate, I will support that. Evangelicals, I'm a Catholic. Evangelicals, that it doesn't bother me. I would much prefer to have a Christian believing person in the White House than an atheist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of the issues that moved you, because all of you are so serious about these issues, what drove you there? Was it the economy? Was it our place in the world? Was it immigration? What was it?
Well, again, the issues for all the candidates are they're just, you can't separate them. They're not that much different. It's the messenger and the way he presents his message. The only Republican that was against the war and wanted to bring the troops home right away was Ron Paul. Ron Paul did very well.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of grassroots, on-the-ground support. Mm-hmm. And I expected him to do a little better than he did. He did come up with 10%.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you again. Thanks very much. We need to pause for just a moment and we'll return. We are broadcasting live the day after the Iowa caucus from the Mississippi Mug restaurant in downtown Dubuque. And I don't think we're going to go home. We're going to move in here for a while and keep doing our broadcast. We have several guests with us, and we'll have many during the course of this hour. We're speaking with Professor Christopher Budzis, who's Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College, went to the Democratic and Republican caucuses, participated in the Republican caucus for John McCain. Also joining us is Professor David Carroll Cochran, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College at the Democratic caucus last night, and he was for the winner, Barack Obama. John Nichols is joining us, Associate Editor of the Cap Times, contributor for The Nation, frequent guest on Wisconsin Public Radio and other public radio stations, and he's been following all of the campaigns here for some time. So I'll give you our phone number, too, 800-486-8655. If you are joining us in Milwaukee, we're not there, but people are answering our phones, 414-227-2050. And if you are a member of our live audience, because you are here, we want you to grab that microphone as well. If you caucus for somebody, if you If you have something profound to say, and I know you do, please grab the microphone. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug Restaurant in downtown Dubuque, talking politics, talking about what happened yesterday. 800-486-8655 is the number, 414-227-2050 if you're joining us in the Milwaukee area. Let's go to a phone call. Rich from Rhinelander is joining us. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Great show.
Thanks.
My heart is light this morning in terms of the results from Iowa. And I've called your show before and said that I do not consider Barack Obama to be the black candidate or even a black candidate. And I don't have a quotation at hand, but I do recall somewhere way back in my studies of literature, I think it was William Faulkner who said something to the effect that if America is ever redeemed from its history of racism, it will be redeemed through someone who was formerly called Negro or colored or whatever. And, you know, we've all wrestled with these terms. Are they African-Americans? Are they blacks? Are they Negroes? Are they colored?
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's time to hand this torch of politics to the young people of the country, much in the way in the early 60s, many of us were excited about John F. Kennedy. Because when I flipped on the TV set when I was a kid, I could look at Southern football teams, collegiate football teams, that were entirely white. There was not a black player on the field anywhere. And that, the nation said, was the way it was supposed to be. Well, we've changed a lot, and we're going to continue to change. And even though Barack Obama was not my first choice as a candidate, I think he's probably a pretty good choice, and it also shows that the people of Iowa who are described as white are no more white than they are black, the same as Barack Obama.
Oh, Rich, I love your comments. You're always great. You're a great caller. Thank you so much for the call. I want Nancy to come up here. I'm so glad. I'm sorry, Nancy. She just walked in the door. We ran into Nancy at a gift shop across the street, and I had a sense that something big was happening with Obama even yesterday afternoon, and I asked her to come today. She's a teacher from Chicago, and she has been campaigning for him. She fell on the ice. She's been here for 8 days. She gave up, you know, her vacation as a teacher. It's a hard job to come here and campaign for him, because she'll tell us why. But there's some of that going on, and I want you to respond to why you're here and also to the issue, because you're from Chicago, and Obama talks frequently about community organizing on the South Side. I think that is one of the profound things that's happened here, and I can't put it into words yet, but we've struggled with this issue of race for so many years in this country, and he somehow has transcended that. And I think it's one of the historical profound things that's happening right now, but I don't know how to put all of that into words. So why don't you do that for me, Nancy? And thanks for coming today. I'm so glad you came. That's great.
Well, the reason we're here is headquarters is closed because the young kids were out partying until probably 4 o'clock in the morning. So I have stuff in there that I made. I'm here. It was a month after 2001. And a group of us from St. Mary of the Woods Catholic Church were organizing to do some fundraising for Hales Franciscan High School in Chicago. Unfortunately, because of 2001, we really didn't do what we wanted to do for Hales Franciscan. We did go to the fundraiser at DuSable Museum, and Barack was the keynote. And I had never heard anyone like him speak. Mm. And my friend Phyllis Foxworth and I ran after him after he spoke. literally ran like he was one of the Beatles. And we just said, if you ever run for higher office, right, we are so there for you. Mm. And being a reading specialist, you know, he gave the politician answer, well, I got to go home and read to my children. Otherwise, you know, Michelle's going to kill me. But the sincerity was so there. And that's that. And I have been with him ever since. And I don't there have been a number of times where my husband probably could have left me for the things that I've done, but one of them was when we were in Chicago at, it was School Street, ironically, and it was December 4th, 2004. Is it 2000? No, I'm sorry. It was 2003. And I was actually campaigning for Yuri Chico, who was board president for Chicago. And once Barack got in the race, I emailed them and I said, I can't do it anymore. It's like night and day. Well, we were on School Street, and there were a number of us probably in a one-bedroom apartment, no bigger than this, and 100 of us were there.
Oh, my gosh.
Barack, this was the beginning of the campaign for Senate, and he called in and said, you know, it was 10 o'clock in the morning in December, said, you know, I'm really running late. Can I skip this location? And we took a Democratic vote, and everyone said, you know, sure, go ahead, go to your next place, wherever you need to go. And I stood up and I said, absolutely not. If he's going to be our next United States Senator, he's got to A, be on time, and B, keep his promises. He got to that location in 10 minutes. I got the greatest picture with him and I. And that became my Christmas card. That Christmas card went out to 200 people. My husband's a marathon runner who actually has the same features as Barack, tall and thin. And all his friends said, you know, God, the picture looks, you know, you look a little different in there. Look a little darker. Yeah. So
what a story.
But anyways, but that was the beginning, and it's just been a ride. And I knew he was going to, it's a spirit thing for me. It's just this feeling, and people say, well, knock on wood. No, there's no knocking on wood here. This is it. He's it. We have someone else that he has to, you know, he has to still go the distance, but he's there. Yesterday's speech kind of.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Let's all talk a little bit more about the race thing, because it is still a big thing here. Tell me, does he transcend race, do you think, David, or... What is it? How big a thing is it?
It's going to be very interesting, because I think your caller captures the paradox of Obama's candidacy when he opened by saying, I don't see him as a black candidate, but then went on to talk about how we will redeem, it will be a racially redemptive act. And so Obama definitely is an African-American candidate, but the politics of race are very fluid in the United States, especially at this time. And the fact that his race in many ways is a positive with crossover voters. Studies show that a lot of white Americans like the idea of voting for an African American. It shows that I'm not a racist. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But it also shows that it's a particular kind of candidate. And if you listen to the way some people describe Obama, you'll see those. He's so articulate. Joe Biden's unfortunate comment about his being clean. You get a lot of these sort of transcendent but not necessarily breaking out of racial categories, and in fact some of those racial categories are at the base of why some people contrast Obama so sharply with people like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, that the racial categories and racial lens in which we view candidates is still there, but in many ways Obama benefits from that rather than being harmed by that.
Let me offer you a notion. This is how Barack Obama becomes president of the United States, and it actually, it's one of the things that wasn't communicated in a lot of the media coverage of Iowa, but it was in play here. Barack Obama's main caucus leaflet had a door on the front. It was a door to a caucus, a room where you would caucus. And it said, open this door and change the world.
Mm-hmm. Change the
world.
The
fact of the matter is that people around the world see African Americans as someone they can relate to, people in other countries. And Obama's begun to talk about this subtly, but in a very effective way. That if he becomes president of the United States, there is the possibility of reshaping how a world that now has very bad relations with the U.S. looks at the U.S. It's almost as if whether he's a good president or not doesn't matter, that people around the world, other countries, will simply say, wow, we're invested in trying to have this guy succeed. And he has begun to communicate that element. That is, frankly, a message that many Republicans, if they're serious about where this country goes and where it stands, have to say, wow, that's actually a rather inexpensive investment in getting America a better place in the world.
Is there another Republican candidate, Christopher, who can, when we get down to, if Obama is the candidate, and he's got a long way to go here still, but is there a Republican who could capture that independent vote that Obama got here in Iowa last night?
You know, poll data would suggest, and you've already identified me as a McCain voter last night, so right. I don't offer this as a partisan per se, but poll numbers would suggest that McCain is the one, although it sets up for a really intriguing matchup that I can't quite get my head around if it would become McCain and Obama, because both can appeal to that same group. So it then begs the question, what will be the difference maker? And so it may be security, it may be events we don't know yet.
Yeah,
I
think it goes right to what we were just talking about. It is this notion that what McCain will get a free pass on national security, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, people will say, this guy gets it. That's a given. Media will do that. But that becomes then Obama's challenge to say, to really define security differently and to say, if the world it likes us, if they're invested in having America succeed and work, we are safer. It makes for the best debate about national security. Strength versus negotiation, things of that.
And I think actually the possibility of having a different type of discussion about political future may take place if those are the two candidates. Mm-hmm. The tenor, the tone, what's actually being said and how it's being said could be different than we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm. Really
the one thing I would say about Obama is attending an event at the middle school the other night, last minute event, there was certainly a sense, an undeniable, palpable sense that this is a movement of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, and I hate to sound like a broken record in a way, is that we may have never seen anything like this. That's certainly possible. But we may also need to caution just a tad and just say, if Senator Clinton is a serious candidate by any measure, and she has plenty of support in different places, and it will be interesting to see how she reacts and whether or not that has an impact on people's perceptions of Obama, either helping him or hurting him. It could actually help him, quite frankly, and make him even stronger.
Yeah. Mayor Tom Barrett, was here yesterday with us for our broadcast, and so I asked him to call in today if Obama won. Because he's an Obama backer, that's why. And he came to the story is our sons play baseball together, and so they're really good friends. And so he called me and said, because we want our sons to become politically active, and we figured why not bring them to Iowa, but we knew that they wouldn't go unless both of them went, you know, because you got to have fun. You got to have fun and play games. Well, so at any rate, to make a long story short, he called and said that he really just wanted to come to Iowa because he's got the political fervor in his blood, and he wanted to be here where the action is. That's why we're all here. And so he took my son Andrew and his son Tommy, and they were with us yesterday here. And then they went on to Des Moines last night to go to caucus to observe for Obama, and then he was calling me to give me the results. And then my son called last night and said that he had met Obama and shook his hand. And so, you know, my son will be running for president 10 years from now or 20 years from now. We hope you'll support him. At any rate, Tom is joining us now because they were at the big celebration in Des Moines last night. Mayor Tom Barrett, you're true to your word. You called in this morning, and you guys partied last night, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was a very exciting night, and I'll tell you that your son and my son, they both in the caucus had written out signs for themselves to try to get caucus goers to vote for them, and neither of them got any votes, so.
It's early, Tom. That's why we brought him here.
What's it?
They tied Chris Dodd down.
They tied Chris Dodd is the comment here. I was really struck by Obama's speech last night. I thought he was moving. He was moving last night, wasn't he, Mayor Barrett?
He was. It was, as I listened to him, I said, now, when did he prepare this speech? Because we had been downstairs with him right before that. And he got up there and delivered that speech like he was talking in our living room. And starting out by saying, the cynics said that we couldn't do it. He just put that to bed immediately. And stay true to his themes of change, of hope, of unity. And ironically, I think the the hammer that was being used against him of not having any experience, in a way, got turned on its head, because that hammer of experience in some ways became the status quo. And I think what you saw both with Huckabee and with Obama was that change won last night. So that's an interesting message, I think, on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. So do you have a gut feeling that everything was settled last night, that Iowa really made the decision as to who the candidates are going to be on the Republican and Democratic sides?
Oh, not one bit. Not one bit. I think on the Republican side, more than anything, it creates more questions than answers. What happens in New Hampshire now? I think it was a bad night for Mitt Romney. I think that it certainly opens the door now in New Hampshire, where he has to stave off John McCain, who's 7 months ago was by many people being written off as having a campaign in financial disarray and no message. All of a sudden, John McCain, who finished fourth in Iowa but never said he was going to be contesting here in Iowa, allows him to get back in the game in New Hampshire. And Giuliani, we haven't even heard from yet. Fred Thompson, who we thought probably might drop out, looks like he might stay at least another round. And so to me, on the Republican side, there's still a lot of churning going on. On the Democratic side, I would think that the most ardent supporters for Obama must be cautious, because now he's going to be heading into some tougher waters. New Hampshire, I think, is in play. If he wins New Hampshire, I think that will obviously give him a huge bounce. But that February 5th Super Tuesday, where you've got 16 states holding their Democratic primaries and another 7 states holding their Democratic caucuses, that day looms larger and larger and larger. And that's an area where you have to acknowledge that Senator Clinton has an advantage, because nationally she does have a lead over Senator Obama. But clearly the attention that's going to be paid to Senator Obama now, I think, is going to give him a bounce, as it inevitably does for people coming out of Iowa. So
in other words, we're all going to be decided in Wisconsin on February 19th.
I think that would be my dream, and I think that would be your dream as well.
I know, on the show yesterday,
seeing all those people in your studio audience there, it's exciting. There's no question it's exciting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, you're a great sport for taking the boys on this trip, and I think it will be a very meaningful event for them in their lives, Mayor Barrett. I really do.
It's a big night in Iowa.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right.
See you back in Milwaukee. Mayor Tom Barrett, who was at the Obama festivities, the victory in Des Moines last night, and had joined us yesterday on the air.
Can I just offer one notion on what he was saying about, you know, the race is being settled? This is an important thing to think about. Mike Huckabee got about 35% of the vote here, but there's a lot of argument that that was his full 35%. He's got a lot of work to do to find more votes. Barack Obama got around 38% of the vote. But then there's another 30% sitting there with John Edwards, who ran, if anything, a more radical change campaign and is out of money.
Right.
And
right.
So when you talk about what gets settled in that, it is true Hillary Clinton is going to run a rough and aggressive campaign against Barack Obama. There's no doubt of that. She will not give this up easily. But Barack Obama looks at a huge pool of potential voters on the Democratic side, who I think are very open to and ready to go his direction. So I wouldn't say Iowa settled it, but I would say that Iowa set up a circumstance where it is very reasonable to suggest that by mid-January, you could have a situation where Barack Obama looks very much like a prohibitive favorite.
Yeah, interesting. Christopher, you want?
If I could just add something real quick. Real quickly. You know, one of the interesting things is absolutely, I think the upside, the potential for Obama campaign in broad spectrum appeal is significant. Absolutely undeniable. And I think it's larger than any of the other Democratic candidates. I think that's undeniable. The curious thing, though, I took students to the caucus. I'm teaching a class right now on the caucus, the nominating process. So students went to either one they chose. And one of the things we were talking about, and they were, you know, we were prepping about and discussing, was a bit of a distortion effect that takes place in the Iowa caucus on the Democratic side because of the second choice and the viability issues. They had seen Biden here, Senator Biden here,
And he was great,
and they were very short to viability, but it's as though in their precinct he never, ever existed. Mm-hmm. And all those 10% of the support in that room that he had never existed. Mm-hmm. So that's something to consider, too.
Yeah, let's pause for a moment. We'll return, and we want to talk more with our audience here at the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, where we are broadcasting live and analyzing the results of the Iowa caucus. We have a live audience here, and we want to go to them as well. And want to hear from some supporters from other campaigns, too. What happened to you last night at the caucuses? What your thoughts were? If you're sad today or if everything's okay. 800-486-8655 is our number. We also have some great callers on the line, so I'll go to a couple of you in a moment as well. I'm Kathleen Dunn, broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa, this day after the Iowa caucuses. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have returned. We have guests in our studios here at the Mississippi Mug. Professor Christopher Budzis is with us, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College, located here in Dubuque. Went to the Democratic and the Republican caucuses last night, brought a group of students who are learning about the whole political process with him, and participated in the Republican caucus, his support going to John McCain. Also joining us, Professor David Carroll Cochran, Associate Professor of Politics at Loras College, went to the Democratic caucus last night and went with the winner, Senator Barack Obama. Also joining us, John Nichols, Associate Editor of the Cap Times, contributor for The Nation, and he's been, had enough time each day to go to, he was at the airport to see McCain. He was up at Waterloo to see whoever he was seeing up there. Obama, thank you. He was just been all over the place. So we have a number of caucus goers who want to speak with us and some callers on the phone as well. Hello.
Hello. Your earlier comments on national security bring me to the mic here. I'm Chris from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm a Vietnam era veteran for peace. And my comment is as follows. When the recent events in Pakistan, all the pundits said that would drive the voters toward the more hawkish or the more traditional McCain and Hillary Clinton, I think what happened was it showed just the opposite. And my reaction was just the opposite. I want a candidate who's going to take a step backward away from the trigger as opposed to squeezing off around.
Yeah. And who is that candidate?
If there was ever a time to coalesce the world sentiment, it was how we behaved after 9/11. And I want somebody, and I'm hoping that my candidate, Barack Obama, will do just that, take a step away from the trigger and help out in that
way. Yeah. You know, people kept saying that, and we heard this, the national news, and some of them at least last night were saying, you know, maybe we do need to examine ourselves and look at second-tier candidates and why we haven't spent much time on them. But I got to tell you, it's my sense, and maybe it's just from doing a talk show and spending years and years talking about Iraq and Pakistan and the Middle East and our actions and responses to our actions, that this war issue, national media has said, oh, it's over. You know, the surge seems to be effective. People aren't as concerned about this very much anymore, David. And so now they're on to other issues. I disagree with that. I think that this war issue played into the vote yesterday. You can see it in this audience. It's been a long time issue. We're spending a lot of money there. We don't have a clear path to victory. And I'm wondering, you know, I think it was on the minds of voters yesterday. I really do.
So polls show that the Iraq war was in the top two for both Republican and Democratic caucus goers. So it still is very salient. How it shakes out will differ. And usually discrete events like the assassination of Bhutto in Pakistan or something like that don't have a huge impact. But the accumulation of worries about a particular set of issues such as Iraq, the Middle East, security, terrorism, that will play a difference. And of course, the wild card is always whether another terrorist attack against American targets or in the United States could change the whole dynamic of the election as well.
The two candidates who were most attacked in this campaign for being quote unquote naive about international affairs were Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee. And isn't it interesting
that very savvy voters who actually I saw yesterday going through cards looking at their stands on every foreign policy issue chose these two candidates. I think what the national media often sees as naivete is simply somebody who's willing to step out of what to most Americans seems like a failed approach to foreign policy. And when you say, yeah, I will negotiate with foreign leaders, even if we don't like them, or as Huckabee has said, that we need a more humble foreign policy. Huckabee was very close to an anti-war candidate.
All right, and we have,
I think that matters.
We have joining us from Arkansas, Jim Harris, who is a Huckabee representative, and he is a campaign organizer. Oh, he's his campaign organizer. Well, all right. We got one of the big shots. And he is joining us by phone now from Arkansas. I imagine he's going to be on his way to New Hampshire fairly soon. Jim Harris, hello. Thank you.
Good morning, and it's good to talk to the folks in Iowa. They were very good to us last night, and Governor Huckabee certainly appreciates them.
They were very good to you last night, weren't they? Were you surprised? It was a big victory for Huckabee, a big victory.
Well, it was. We felt good going into the election. I mean, into the caucuses, but, you know, one never knows until everything's counted. And we were very pleasantly surprised. If I was the governor on my way out last night headed for New Hampshire, I'd have stopped at the state line and hung a sign on the big sign that says, "Welcome to Iowa," that says, "Not for sale."
See, that's what makes you guys successful. It's this, you know, this humor, this being real. That's what makes you successful. We were talking a little bit earlier, Jim, about a change of strategy when you come to New Hampshire. That the fact that the candidate that Huckabee describes himself and is very, very tied to his faith, that he may not want to mention that as much in New Hampshire. What do you think about that? Is there a new strategy, or will he hold true to who he is, faith being very important to him, and he'll talk about it?
No, he's not going to run away from it. He is going to be out there, and he's trying to be honest with people and say, you know, I'm wanting you to select me for president, and I want you to understand that faith guides me not only in my private life but my public life. That's what my set of values are. They're very clear. And, you know, it's like when you go to the grocery store, you can read what's on inside the can by looking at the label. And that saying that the faith guides his decisions and his life is essentially the same thing as a label on the can.
You know, you kind of sound like him. No, you do. You have the same kind of style, the same kind of humor.
Well, you know, it's just the Arkansas thing. But, you know, Mike Huckabee, I have known him since 1975. He believes you ought to have fun in everything you do. And, you know, he takes the job of president seriously, but he doesn't take himself that seriously. You know, he's willing to laugh at himself, and the rest of us should be too. And sometimes when he makes a joke, there are a lot of people out there that don't seem to have a sense of humor, and it sometimes gets him in trouble with the media about stuff like that.
Right. No, he's got this wonderfully intimate quality that I think people really connect with him. I had read until very recently that the Huckabee campaign had almost no staff, Harris, that there were about three people working with him, that he had no speech writers, et cetera. Have you been with him for a while, or is he just sort of in a real hurried fashion put together a staff now that he's won Iowa?
Well, I came on in November, and they started last January with a staff of four, and slowly added a few more, and there were about 40 people when I came on in November, and now it seems like every day when I come to work there's somebody new here, or maybe two or three somebody's new. So we keep expanding our office space, and more people come on. We've got just a whole gang of people here volunteering and answering the phones today, which are just ringing off the wall, and most of them are people that want to give money. So last night was very good for us.
Right. And do you really believe that you're going to have kind of an uphill battle here, or was Iowa extremely important to you? Are there states that you're worried about right now? You can tell me that honestly.
You know, the the governor always runs as if he's 10 points behind. He's done that in all of the elections that he's been in here. He did it in Iowa. He'll do it in New Hampshire and South Carolina, Florida, any of these upcoming elections. He'll work like that. You know, I won't deny that Iowa was tough. Depending on who you listen to, we were outspent. For every dollar we spent, one of the other candidates spent $15 or $20. And there were over 14,000 negative ads run against him by the collective folks out there that don't like him. And, you know, the people of Iowa just didn't buy all that negative campaigning. And that was shown last night.
We've heard that. We've heard that from people here, that they did not like the negative campaigning at all. So are you in New Hampshire?
No, I'm in Arkansas.
Oh, you're still in Arkansas. Well, don't you think you better get to New Hampshire?
Well, somebody has to stay home and talk to the good folks in the media who call here in Little Rock.
Well, we're appreciative that you were called in. Thank you so much. Congratulations on quite a victory last night,
Well,
Jim.
Thank you, and I'd like to express the governor's thanks to the people of Iowa. He really loves the state. He says that it's a lot like Arkansas, and so, again, he just appreciates them all.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right.
We have news coming up, and we'll continue. Thanks to him for being with us. He is the campaign organizer for Mike Huckabee, joining us by phone from Arkansas. I'm surprised he's not in New Hampshire, aren't you? Yeah.
They have somebody answer the phones down there. But I will offer the notion that
they
have more Chris Dodd staffers in Iowa than the entire Huckabee campaign.
John Nichols, thanks very much for being with us. And we will continue with our caucus scores and continue with our analysis of what happened here yesterday in Iowa as we broadcast live from the Mississippi Mug in Dubuque. We're having fun. This is the Ideas Network.